Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. Before we join Pastor Dave in today's study, we would like to take a moment and invite you and your family to join us this Easter. Our Good Friday service will be Friday, April 15th at 7 p.m. here at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Easter Sunday service will be April 17th at Roberts Wesleyan College. The service will begin at 10 a.m. Please come and join us as we celebrate Jesus this Easter. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he continues through the book of Revelation, picking up in chapter 20, starting in verse 7.
We're not even, you know, we're a quarter of the length of the time that Christ will reign and rule. Look how quickly people revert. Look how quickly people go back. Look how quickly people forget. All the 9/11 commemoration yesterday. I was watching the Yankee-Met game last night. If you missed, the Yankees won. But I was watching that game, and I was watching all the opening ceremony activity. And it caused me right away to reflect. The Yankees went to the World Series in 2001, and I could just remember President Bush coming out, throwing the pitch the first game. And it just took me back. I remember I was telling my kids, I was a student at Spencerport at the time. I was in high school. It was my senior year. I was in English class. I'll never forget, my dad came to the school to pick me up in between second and third period. He believed, he went and got all of us from our schools. He thought this is it. This could be the end. This could set us in motion for the rapture of the church and so on and so forth. And I remember that. And I remember the prayer meetings. I remember the Bible studies. I remember the church attendance. Standing room only, you know, people were lining the walls. And I think to myself, in just 20 years from that event in our nation's history, how far we have fallen, how reprobate we have become. The God we were all praying to and desperate for help and asking for forgiveness. I think of, Hurricane Katrina and those devastating events that mark our recent history. And even still, these things happen, they shake us, they wake us, and then we go right back into the law of the deception of the enemy. COVID-19. Everybody, as long as things get back to normal, I think the most of us will just forget about it. I think that that's pretty much the main desire of people. And we need to be like the sons of Issachar saying, Lord, help us to understand the times and discern, Lord, and know how to live properly. There's something bigger and deeper that's going on behind all of this. There's deception. And the church is being called to wake up from it. This deceiver is no match for us. I'm going to say it one more time and then I'll move from my point. He's so good at what he does that people who are physically near Jesus, beholding Jesus, I want to make it explicit for you, seeing Jesus, they're going to watch him reign and rule in righteousness. They are going to turn from him and turn to him. Crazy. And they're going to follow the devil. And they're going to surround the camp of the saints, the beloved city. That's what the earthly Jerusalem is called. It's called that, or the great city, or the holy city, all through the narrative. It's actually never called Jerusalem except twice in the whole narrative when it's speaking of the heavenly city that will descend from glory or from nothingness. But this earthly city of Jerusalem, and then it tells us that fire comes down from God, which means ashes in an instant. There's no shots fired. And it devours them. Man, that is such, for all you people who are being tempted with sin right now, that there it is. The deception is so thick. It is so great. It appears to be, oh, if I just go this way of the world, if I just be a part of the trend, the movement, the cool kids, the popular kids, if I just go that way, oh, what it will be. And then you get there and it's all death. You know why I believe so much of what I preach to you when it comes to things like this? Because I get crushed when I'm preaching it. There is such an adversary to God's truth. I know I'm speaking to somebody in this room this morning, and I believe that the Lord wants to give you the ability to be set free from whatever it is that maybe is seeking to beset you and hinder you from running the race to win. There is such a, your soul is so precious that Jesus is after it and the devil is too. And my gosh, I mean, what a deceptive world we live in. Everything out there is like a facade. It appears to be something that it completely isn't. Globalism. Oh, we got to all be accepting of everybody. It's just such a lie. It sounds, so much of it sounds right, but it's so corrupt. It's so evil intended. There's such a demonic spirit behind all of this. And the Lord's trying to wake us. We'll see how he wants me to close. I'll read this last verse and then we'll be done. It says, and then the devil, this is the last time if you were sick of him. I don't know if you're sick of him or not. But it says here in verse 10 that he, for the last time he's mentioned in the Bible, last time he appears, he that deceived them, he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's the ultimate fulfillment, Bible students, of Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. There you go. That's the stomp. And it's also the ultimate fulfillment of John 12:31, where Jesus says that he saw the devil cast out. There it is. He's cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented. Notice here, it says it in verse 10, Jesus wants you to see this. People who go to the lake of fire, they're not annihilated. They don't cease to exist. The doctrine of annihilation is baloney. It's nonsense. It goes on forever and ever. There's continual existence. There's an eternity of torment for Christ rejectors. The Greek language here at the end of verse 10 is the strongest structure possible to emphasize the continuation of it. It says they are tormented. Then there's two phrases, day and night, forever and ever. It's a biblical idiom. It means without end, from ages to ages. There's no ceasing to exist. Somehow God equips that eternal body, I suppose, that occupies the soul, or the soul occupies, to be able to endure this place of torment that was not created for image bearers. I will make that as clear as possible. I'll spend the whole morning showing you that next Sunday. It was created for Satan, his demons, the false prophet, and the Antichrist forever and ever. It is a place of torment. It is a place that nobody here wants to know anything more about, but we will look at it more so next week, and we will rejoice that Jesus is so kind and gracious that he desires us all to wake up now before it's too late. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave you with this because it's a tough break. Again, if time constraints weren't the issue, we would never end in a place like this. The problem is that every chunk of scriptures is only enough time for a sermon to get proper place to it. So we got these little sermonettes that are being built out of the millennial reign of Christ when ideally we'd keep the chapter together. So here's what I want to do. I want to turn your head back to the grace and mercy of Jesus. Peter gives commentary on this time period. Let me wash you with this before I invite the worship team to come. I don't want there to be any distractions, any noise. This is imperative that we understand this. Jesus, through Peter, calls you beloved in his epistle. If you want to go and look at it yourself, you should do it if that's what you need to focus right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord, through Peter, says this to you and me. He says, beloved, that means he loves us. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You wonder where he got that idea from. The millennial reign. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, even if Americans and Russians and Middle Easterns and Muslims and whoever else say differently. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord says through Peter, that Jesus Christ is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. That's the love of God. That's the heart of God. He wants none to perish, none to perish, but all to come to repentance in him. But here's what you need to know. The day of the Lord, which is not just a day, it begins at the rapture millennium into the eternal period with the new heaven and earth. The day of the Lord, it says, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein, it says, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. We just read that. No shots fired. Satan, innumerable army of mortal men who gather with him, surrounding the city of Jerusalem. The Lord isn't fighting, it don't seem. There's no angel that gets involved. We don't got to do anything. From glory, the Father blessed them with fire. So not a flood this time, but fire. And he says, you see these things happening. We, he says, as followers of Christ, you're reading about it, focus on the manner of person that you ought to be. An all holy lifestyle, he used the word conversation, he's saying lifestyle and godliness. That's what you should be doing when you read passages like this. You should be saying, Lord, help me to hone in on living a lifestyle that is holy and pleasing to you. Secondly, he says, you should be looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we this morning. He says, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now listen, Jesus is going to give us that. That's what chapter 21 and chapter 22 are going to be all about. But in order for it to be truly glory, there can't be any more death. In order for that to be any more death, there can't be any more sin. In order for there not to be any more sin, an influence of sin, right, a part of that is getting rid of Satan. This is all of the process that leads us to that eternal city of Jerusalem that descends out of nothing, nothingness. Because the heavens and the earth, as we'll see next Sunday, will roll up like a scroll, and we're going to be standing with the Lord in nothingness, and we're going to watch him recreate, bara, something out of nothing. Crazy. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for those of you who are students in this room, whether it be elementary school and you snuck in here, I'll make sure Eileen doesn't turn around and see you, whether you be a middle school student and your eyes are being opened to a whole new world, whether you're a high school, and I'm not specifying private schools and homeschools and public schools, because truth be told, sinners are everywhere, so it doesn't really matter. So high school student, you're at the university, maybe you're home for the weekend, maybe you're watching online, you stand up where you are in your dorm, in your apartment, you too. Whoever you are, maybe you're somebody who's trying to walk with the Lord and you are really battling the darkness of deception. You are even having a hard time getting your hands to the truth. It's so thick, whatever it is that's in front of you. You're getting what I'm saying because God's Spirit's bearing witness with your spirit. This is truth. But you, at the same time, it's like you're blinded and you can't even find the light. You can't even see it. I want to intercede with you, for you, before you leave this room. If you're older in age and you've been a Christian, I'm still on the same group for 50 years. But you've been watching too much news. You're being too influenced by your Twitter feed. By talk radio, I'm over it. I can't anymore. It's not God's spirit for us. He's given us a power and love and sound mind. He's not given us the spirit of fear. Maybe you've been listening too much. Your brain is all convoluted. You just need the Lord to remove all of the deception, all of the opinion, all of the blurriness that man has caused in front of you so that you can grab a hold of truth and hold on to it with all that you've got. Whatever demographic you find yourself in, wherever you are spiritually, if you just need an extra prayer today, for any reason that I've said or beyond, would you just stand? I'm going to pray for you, and we got some of the pastors in the room, the elders. Spread yourselves, guys, please, and go to the different groups. Put your hand on them. Go ahead now, please, and just represent the groups that are standing. We're going to pray over you, because I truly believe that this deception is unlike any other deception that humanity has seen. I believe personally that the enemy is aware that time is short. And I believe he's doing a number on the bride of Christ and on the culture all around us. So if you need prayer, that's all that this is. You just stand. Jimmy, if you can come and lay hands. Stevie, if you can lay some hands, we're praying for you too. I want hands laid on people. I want to see God encourage people and strengthen people. I don't want the congregation here to leave another week feeling like I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I feel like I'm suffocating. I feel alone. I feel like I can't breathe. Stand up. We're going to wait because there's more. You're overwhelmed. Even the deception of the vaccine. You're overwhelmed. You know how many calls I've gotten this week where the ultimatum has been given? Get vaccinated or lose your job. And we've made this into something, and I'm not going to get into it right now, but we've made this into something that even that, like there's such a deception, we're losing our peace. We can't sleep at night. We're developing bad habits and trying to stay physically healthy because of all the repercussions of the vaccine we've heard of, and we got to drink a bottle of wine to go to bed. We got to pop pills in order to snooze and get some sleep. Do you understand what's happening? There's such a deception, and it even seems good, the deception. No, what's being said, it's good, though. Yes, I understood. It might be good, but that good thing's keeping you from the greatest thing, Jesus and his peace and his rest that he gives to his beloved. I'm trying to preach through a wall right now for you to understand what's going on. There's something that you need to see here. This enemy of ours, he is so good at what he does that there is Christ in the 1,000-year reign of his. And even still, people say, I'm leaving him to follow him. There's no condemnation. Jesus, we pray right now for every man and woman who's standing to you. That whatever it is, God, that they're up against, temptation. Our state is legalizing drugs, Lord. I mean, even that, if it's legal, why can't I do it? There's all these things that are in front of us. It is so confusing out there. Pastors are posting things of bottles of liquor and beer, and the Christian wants to know, can I drink? Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so drinks. This spiritual leader says this of COVID and shuts down the churches, and this spiritual leader says it's a conspiracy of COVID and acts like it's nothing. There's such confusion. The enemy is doing a great job at dividing. And Jesus, you said that if a house is divided, it can't stand. And we're seeing the bride of Christ divide. We're seeing Americans divide. We're seeing husbands and wives divide, children and parents. And Lord, we need an outpouring of your spirit. I stand with my brothers and sisters, God. We need greater grace. We need greater mercy. Lord, we need more strength to walk with you, to persevere, to not drink the wine of Babylon, to not nod our heads yes in agreement with all of these, when we strip them down, Lord, these naked falsehoods that are in front of us. God, please awaken our spirits this morning. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge that is beyond us. Give us your truth, God. And may your truth not only set us free, but keep us free. We love you, Lord. We are thankful to you. We are thankful to you that you've given us the ending and the beginning and everything we need to know in between. Help us, God, this week to honor you with all that we are, should you tarry. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close the service with a song of praise. So I invite everybody to stand. If you're here today and you say, I need more, I need to talk with somebody, I need to get further prayer, counsel, I have so much confusion. Listen, we would love to be that, do that for you. Some of the guys will be up front available. Some of the guys will be on the foyer. But I'm going to just address the elephant in the room. We are not medical experts. We are not medical experts. We do not pretend, me and the leadership team here, to have a handle on everything that's going on. We are confused like you are confused. Sufficient, I believe, now more than ever is the evil of the day thereof. My advice to you is stay in the day. Okay, don't fret about tomorrow, and don't forfeit what you know for what you don't know. Okay, there's things that God has given to us that we know. We know that he loves us. Amen? We know that he's coming again to get us. That's what he told us. All of his promises are yes and amen. We know that he said, because he's gone now physically from this world, we know that he said, you now as the church are the light and the salt of the earth. If we're the light and the salt of the earth, then that means he still has a mission and a purpose for us. It's bigger than the jab, the vaccine. It's bigger than the president. It's bigger than the governor. It's bigger than the mayor. It's bigger than the mandates, okay? It's bigger than the masks. I know we are living in such a time where it's like, what do we do? What we do is hold on to what we know. What we do is we trust in the Lord. Those whose minds are stayed on the Lord will have perfect peace. Your peace gets lost when you watch too much Fox News. Your peace gets lost when you watch too much CNN news. Your peace gets lost when you read your phone too much and everybody's tweets and opinions and stances, and you listen to podcasts of men of God instead of God of those men. You need to spend time in the Bible. You need to spend time praying to the Lord. That's what you need to do. You need to cultivate a prayer life. You need to cast all your cares upon him. That's what Peter tells us, because we really do know and believe that he cares for us. My 10-year-old son had a rough day at school the other day, and he's like, "Dad, I went in the bathroom, and I was in there, and I started praying to the Lord, and I just said, Lord, please," this is my 10-year-old son. He says, "Lord, please, like, give me something to show me that you're with me. Just give me something to show me. Lord, give me something that will, his words were, give me something that will make me have a great day." That's what he said. And he went back to open up his lunch in the classroom, because they got the kids eating in all separate. They're trying to mitigate and keep everybody separate. So he's in his classroom, and he opens his lunch pail. My wife put a sticker on his lunch that says, "I hope you have a great day." And he couldn't believe. He said God spoke to him, and he came home, and he's telling me about how he prayed that God would give him a great day, and then he had a sticker that said, "Have a great day," and God spoke to him. And I just think to myself, as bad as these times are, as tough as they are, as uncertain as they are, if God can get a hold of our 10-year-old hearts, right, our 10-year-olds in this church, their hearts, and he can start to speak to them where they have a confidence that prayer works, so I'm going to keep it going. Like, what might God do with this generation? Should it be the generation that hears the trump sound? So eyes on Jesus, right? Outlook's bleak, so we're gonna keep with the outlook. Eyes on Jesus, we're light and salt. He's good. Nothing can separate us from his love. Height, depth, breadth, width, nothing can get to us outside of his care. His hands are upon us. His eyes are on us. So we hold on to these things. That's how we sing. We sing to him. We're gonna sing his name is Jesus. Meditate as you sing these words before you got to go back out there. Before you got to leave this room and you got to go back out there to wherever you got to go for this week. Meditate on what you're saying. His name is Jesus. Jesus is Jehovah has become our salvation. If God, you've become our salvation, what good thing will you withhold from those who love you? And the answer is nothing. So let the peace of God start to flood. Let the peace of God wash over you as these leaders sing over us, sing with them, but just raise your hands. Let it leave your body. Lord, please rid me of the fear, right? Rid me of the anxiety, the stress, all of it. Like, just leave it here. Dump the load right at the feet of Jesus, and it'll lift your head.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.